Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I am Gary YouTube inside of the vessel of Rossi Drip Drip, and welcome to Survivor Series weekend. It's Survivor Series weekend. Jack, how are you?
I'm confident. I'm confident in our team's chances.
Toon Squad!
Come on and slam. And welcome to the jam, and we're gonna beat them.
Aye, we're gonna smack Andrew in the face.
Aye, I'll do that.
Physically.
I'll have Owen. We'll all have one.
Yeah, who's Adam taking?
Richard Tubman.
And then Sam can take Tom. That's what's happening in predictions and reactions. All that stuff's on the channel right now, I assume. I don't know when this is going out, to be honest with you. But we are here to look at the GOATs in the Soul Survivors game at Survivor Series. We've got the seven greatest Soul Survivors in the history of Survivor Series who have all been Soul Survivor more than once, and that's what makes them a GOAT. Let's put them in a tier and ask Samuel Driver, baby, to hit an intro.
No.
And just in case you haven't been here before, we put these GOATs from the Soul Survivor game into a tier, which for this time has a different set of rank and tier things because they're all brilliant.
Yeah, do you want me to read them off?
Yeah, why not?
Go on then. Yeah, you can't be saying that some of these are in the bin or in just about bearable. It doesn't really work. So instead, Ross has gone for the best, followed by sensational.
Sensational.
That's a great word. Then great in the middle, underrated, and meh, everyone hypes it up too much.
Fair enough. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. But we're going to put it in that bottom tier if it is overrated. But we're kicking things off with one of the GOATs in Survivor Series history, which, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, is Dolph Ziggler.
I believe it.
Who in 2012 and 2014 was the sole survivor. That 2014 match, of course, was the debut in the WWE of Sting. I've got all the things written down here. We had Team Cena in this 2014 one, which consisted of Cena, Ziggler, Eric Rowan, Big Show and Ryback. And they defeated Team Authority, which was Seth Rollins, Kane, Luke Harper, Mark Henry and Rusev. And of course, if the whoever won, so if the Team Cena won, Team Authority, the Authority got put out of power, didn't they? Triple
Forever.
H was fired as COO. Kane was fired as Director of Operations. Yeah. Stephanie McMahon was fired as one of the principal owners of WWE. And had seen Team Cena have lost, of course, the five lads mentioned there would have lost their jobs forever.
I've heard since that it would have been the other four, but not Cena.
But not Cena?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it says right there, not Cena himself. I should read my own notes, shouldn't I? But that's when Dolph Ziggler, I believe, was last time like a proper bona fide, purely belter main eventer.
Well, that rhymed as well. That was really good.
I've got bars, me.
Me as well. It was one of the more like overblown and silly Survivor Series matches ever, but I like it. It worked. I liked it. And Ziggler played the floppy Shawn Michaels role, I was going to say. You know what I mean? He's been beaten up. He played that role really, really well.
He brought it home for Team Cena, so he did, because he last eliminated Kane, then Harper, then Rollins to bring it home. Of course, the Rollins one involved the debut of Sting and Triple H and the Sledgehammer and all of that malarkey. Going back to 2012, when Dolph Ziggler was the Money in the Bank holder, he was on Team Ziggler. He had his own bloody team. That's how much of a big deal Dolph Ziggler was back in the day. And that consisted of Bertie Del Rio, Damian Sandow, David Otunga, Ziggler himself and Wade Barrett, with Ricardo Rodriguez in their corner. And they defeated, in 2012, Team Foley. Now, this one's escaped my mind completely. Yeah, Daniel Bryan, Kane, Kofi Kingston, The Miz and Randy Orton with Mick Foley overseeing things. Mm. The big picture stuff, like Michael Scott on
the
outside of the ring.
I remember this match.
No, me neither at all. But in this match here, Ziggler pinned both Kane and then lastly Randy Orton to win the match and bring it home for his team.
Oh, he pinned Mr. Survivor Series himself.
He pinned Mr. Survivor Series himself. Or is he Mr. Survivor Series? Find out come the end of this video.
Oh, I just meant, don't worry, I just meant Randy Orton's Mr. Survivor Series overall. Not just in the elimination matches. He's just missed, he's like Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania. That's pretty strong from Dolph Ziggler.
We've got to go top two tiers, haven't we?
I'd say so.
Especially for that 2014 one, because that was earth-shattering.
I'm scared to put him or indeed anyone into the very top tier yet.
Oh, we can move it around as the video goes on. That's the beauty of the tier list.
I'm still thinking he's top end of sensational rather than the best.
I'll go with that.
Purely because a lot of that second one was down to Sting.
Yeah. He did get two eliminations before Sting, if memory serves correctly.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good.
Aye. I'll go sensational. We can move it up towards the end if we want to.
Okay, we'll see how it pans out.
And next up, we're moving on to another current day superstar, which is the Big Dog himself. Well, formerly the Big Dog. Now he has a table and he's a tribal chief. He's Roman Reigns, who in 2013 and in 2019 was the sole survivor at Survivor Series, which of course was the event. Also, if we're going to bring other extracurricular affairs into this debate. Listen to me speak some words.
Yeah.
He made his debut at Survivor Series back in 2012, of course, putting that there right back through a table because CM Punk told him to.
Yes. And was the sole survivor in 2019, did you say?
19. That was the NXT when we brought into the mix. That was the Keith Lee.
I forgot about Keith. That was the Keith Lee one.
Don't you dare forget about Keith.
No, that was a great... I remember it more for Keith than I do for Roman, but I remember their final showdown was really, really exciting.
So speak about that 2019 one now. We had Team SmackDown, which was Reigns, Strowman, Corbin, Ali and Shorty G defeating Team Raw, which was Rollins, McIntyre, Owens and Orton and Ricochet, and Team NXT, which was Ciampa, Priest, Riddle, Lee and Volta. And then Reigns brought it home for Team SmackDown, of course, who just got their deal on Fox. So, of course, it was going to happen. Reigns eliminated McIntyre and then Lee after that fantastic showdown where you watch Keith Lee and you thought, wow, look at the crowd go wild as he tussles with the Big Dog himself, Roman Reigns. Let's make him a superstar. That went heartbreakingly well, didn't it?
A few months later, he came out of the Royal Rumble and again...
Brock Lesnar.
Look at the crowd going wild for this moment. Who's going to be a superstar?
I just remember the power bombs, Reigns and Keith Lee in that match were absolutely sensational. Bouncing off the ring like balls they were.
Yes.
But back to 2013 we go, and this time the Shield had their own team. So we had Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, teaming with the Real Americans, which was Antonio Cesaro back then, and Jack Swagger with Zeb Coulter in their corner. And they defeated the team of Cody Rhodes, Goldust, Rey Mysterio and the Usos. So, of course, the Shield back then were dirty heels. But on the turn...
This would have been before people didn't like Roman. They didn't like him because he was a heel, but before the Roman hate.
Do you remember the 2014 Rumble?
Oh, of course,
he was eliminating everybody.
He was the last one.
People going radio rental. And then 2015 came around and then... Whoa! Woo-wee! Rollins eliminated Jey Uso before being eliminated himself by Rey Mysterio, which left the odds 2-1 in the babyface's favour. But fear not, back in 2013, WWE wrestling fans, Reigns' part in this match, he eliminated four people earlier on in the match. He eliminated Jimmy Uso and Cody Rhodes. And then at the end, with the odds 2-1 in the babyface team's favour, he eliminated Goldust and Ronald Mysterio to bring it home for the Shield.
Are you saying he eliminated four of the five people on the other team?
Yes, he did.
What? That's big. That's pretty big. And in the other one that we've talked about, there was more people in that match. It's harder.
There was.
I think in kayfabe terms, that's better than Ziggler.
But then we're looking at who he eliminated. Ziggler's eliminating. Who was he eliminating? Kane, Harper, Rollins. He's eliminating Rhodes, Goldust, 2013 Ray.
Yeah.
It's not 2006 Ray.
I guess so.
I guess the Rollins and Reigns were left with a 5-on-2 disadvantage and then still brought it home. So I guess that's for something.
Those brave heels.
Yeah.
Oh, that is tricky.
This is an interesting debate now. How much stock do we put in the opponents who were eliminated from the matchup?
Yeah, but the fact that in 2019 he eliminated Keith, who at the time was
on
a roll, I think I'm going to recommend anyway that he goes in sensational as well.
I'm fine with that.
Right, okay.
I'm fine with that.
But again, as you say, we can always
we need to find out best by the end of the video. Otherwise, what's the point? And could the best be Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who in 1996, on his WWE debut inside MSG at Survivor Series, and in 2001, at the end of the Alliance thing, the storyline with the Alliance, that was the thing, at the end of 2001.
The Invasion.
Aye, the Invasion. That's what I was looking for there. We're trying to cram so much into Dane, I'm panicking, but there we go. So that's what he did. That's when he was Soul Survivor on the two occasions. Back in 96, it was an all-star affair that Rocky Maivia had to fight his way through because Jake Roberts, Mark Miro with Sable, Rocky Maivia, and The Stalker.
The Stalker?
Barry Windham.
Oh, Barry, okay.
But he was called The Stalker, for some reason. Wow. Just used to stalk folk in the nighttime and whatnot. They defeated, and brace yourselves, everybody, Crush, Goldust with Marlena, of course, back then, Jerry Lawler, and Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Dwayne got the last two eliminations of this match, seeing off both Crush and then Goldust, who back then was a big deal. We all know that one, back in 1996.
Yeah.
So that was two monumental eliminations there for Dwayne. Then in 2001... I think it's my favourite Survivor Series elimination, which is a weird sentence to say, but when Kurt Angle double-crossed the Alliance and went back to Team WWF...
Nothing goes in the crowd.
Yeah.
Just like, yes.
The Rock eliminated Stone Cold, didn't he? Finally, to bring it home for Vince McMahon and win the war! Doing that on the stage, weren't we?
He saved the Federation.
He did.
With help of Kurt Angle, but it was... It's tricky, this one.
Yeah.
The second one's a far bigger deal than the first one.
It is, yeah. Shall I go through the participants in the match?
Just in case people don't know.
This was Team WWF back then, which was The Rock, Chris Jericho, Undertaker, Kane, and Big Show, defeating the Alliance of Stone Cold. The Alliance, remember, not WWF. Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam, Booker T, and Shane McMahon himself. But before Shane McMahon started taking himself a bit too seriously for some people's liking.
But Shane McMahon, the heart and soul of the other side of the wrestling court.
Yeah, it was him and Stephanie. Him and Stephanie tried to take the father down.
I can understand some of them being on that team. I can even understand Austin being on that team, given that he came from WCW. Yeah. But there's some questions to be asked about that.
As well as doing Stone Cold Steve Austin in 4-1 at the end of that match, he pronounced Pal Ross. The Rock also eliminated Booker T, Kurt Angle, before Kurt Angle came back. I guess he slapped some sense into Kurt Angle at the end of the day. Yeah. But I reckon this is better than the two we've been through so far.
Really? Whoa.
Think about 1996 and Goldust especially, the newcomer on the scene, their debut at one of the big four back then.
Okay.
He's seen off Goldust, and then 2001, he saved the entire WWF.
I was going to say that Reigns' early one, his first Survivor Series, was better than The Rock's first Survivor Series.
Mm.
But then the later ones... The Rock's was obviously one of the biggest Survivor Series moments. So now I don't know at all.
We'll go top of sensational.
All right then, for now, yeah. Okay,
and then we'll see what happens at the end of the video.
Next up, though. Where is he? Oh, there he is.
That big strapping
Rocky
man.
Rocky Maivia.
Yeah. 1996, a very long time ago. Next up, we have Ric Flair, who was Soul Survivor in 1991 and 2006. All the way back in 1991, a couple of months after his debut, we had Ric Flair teaming with the Mountie, Ted DiBiase, and the Wardlord, with Mr. Perfect, Jimmy Hart, and Sensational Sherry, and Harvey Whippleman in their corner. What happened to managers, eh? And they defeated the team of Roddy Piper, Bret Hart, Virgil, and the British Bulldog. Now, when I hear that second team there, one of these things is not like the other. Flashes through my mind.
Yeah, Bret Hart wasn't that brilliant.
Yeah, not that good, was he?
But how did he win that match, Ross? This is what I'm asking.
Yes,
it sounds really impressive.
It does, but I think you know by the sounds of your cadence of your voice there.
I do, and I'll explain it in a sec. Sorry, something flashed on the laptop and I got paranoid that the recording had stopped. It's still going, it's fine. Ric Flair won this one, I believe, because everyone else got counted out, or was it disqualified?
Yep.
He got knocked out of the ring.
Yep.
Everyone else piles in for a big brawl, and the referee is like the opposite.
Other way around, Jack. Flair was in the ring, everyone else on the outside.
Everyone got counted out?
Yeah. Counted out or DQ'd, one of the two.
Everyone's brawling.
Yeah.
And the ref is like the opposite of Mr. Knox from AEW. Because he didn't let any of that go.
No.
He was like, you're all barred.
Yeah.
And Ric Flair was the only one left. That, to me, that's weak.
He got one elimination to his name, though. One official legal elimination, which was the Bulldog. So there's something.
Well, he got one.
And then Warlord pinned Piper. Then the rest of the people involved in the match brawled.
See, there's a few eliminations in Survivor Series history where you're like, that's a bit lucky. Like when The Undertaker made his debut and chased them away.
Mm.
But this one, he won the whole match.
Yeah.
Apart from that one elimination, on a stroke of luck.
Shall we go the bottom tier for Ric Flair in 1991? Just if we're going to look at it in isolation, obviously we need to bring
up... Oh, 1991's bottom tier, definitely, yeah.
Everyone hypes it a bit too much, like...
But
then
what was the 2006 one?
One, and this one is weird, because 2006...
I'll pop him in there for now, we might have to boost him up a little bit.
Ric Flair teamed with Dusty Rhodes, Sergeant Slaughter and Ron Simmons to take down the Spirit Squad. Back to OVW to you, bitches. And to make things worse, Flair was at a 3-on-1 disadvantage, but managed to pull the victory out of his arse. He took down three members of the Spirit Squad despite being years of age back in 2006.
Like, what this is screaming to me is that we've got to move Dolph Ziggler down because he's had a nightmare there. He's an absolute shocker.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This hasn't really... I know you said he was 3-on-1, but the Spirit Squad at the time were treated really like... like clones of expendable clones of each other.
Towards the end of 2006, it was painful. Like,
yeah, they were getting their asses handed to them and jumping around. This doesn't raise his stock for me in Survivor Series terms.
I'm fine with them being up there with, because I imagine people hear, oh, Ric Flair 3-on-1 disadvantage against the Spirit Squad. Oh my God, that's impressive. Oh, Ric Flair took down several people by himself. Oh, that's impressive. But they're not as good as they sound, are they?
No, no.
And that's exactly what that bottom tier was about.
All right, okay, fair enough then. I'm glad that I've agreed with that then. Yeah, good not stuff. Impressive.
Next up, we have Terence Bellair, who was the sole survivor in 1989 and 1990 at Survivor Series. But he was on the first team ever to lose a main event at Survivor Series, so...
Bye.
Swings and roundabouts, innit? Swings and roundabouts. Back in 1989, though, the Hulkamaniacs, which was Hogan, Jake Roberts, Axe and Smash, they defeated the Million Dollar Team of Ted DiBiase, the Warlord, the Barbarian and Zeus, with Virgil and Mr. Fuji in their corner. And Hogan, of course, didn't do much in the match, but he got the final pinfall on Big Ted to bring the bring the match home for his team. Then we go to 1990. It was a 3-on-5 kind of thing. Three-on-five kind of thing.
Was this the one where they'd all had matches earlier in the night and they were the survivors?
Yeah, buddy.
Who were his partners? Tito.
Tito and the Ultimate Warrior. And they defeated Hercules, Paul Roma, Rick Martel, Ted DiBiase once again, and the Warlord once again, with Virgil and Slick in their corner. Hogan eliminates Dino Bravo and then the Warlord, and then things happened there. Then he won another match that night. I think this is the second match. I might have written the best of these notes, because, of course, we had the ultimate match of Survival as well.
Yeah.
But I think Warrior got the final fall in that match there to bring it home for that team of all the winners from the other matches on the card, and they had a match at the end there. So he won two matches at Survivor Series 1990.
That counts for something.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because the one time then that he was the undisputed sole survivor, well, He's made one elimination.
He's not pulled
his weight.
He's done a David Nugent, which has been a topic in the office over the past couple of days. David Nugent, England striker, made one appearance for the England football team. Scored one goal in that one appearance. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? But no, the ball was trickling towards the goal. There was no goalkeeper there, and he booted the ball in from less than a yard.
He sprints to get there as well before he crosses the line and lashes it in.
But maybe you got to admire the sort of tenacity, the sort of awareness that I might not be here again.
Oh,
so let's make the most of it.
If I was in David Nugent's shoes, I would have done exactly the same thing. Yeah.
But I guess David Nugent and Hulk Hogan aren't the same thing.
They're not the same thing. Hulk Hogan knew that he was going to get more caps for Survivor Series.
Yes.
He's had big Survivor Series moments. There was the whole stuff with Macho Man and all that and Elizabeth. But I feel like with Hogan, he's not up there with the sensational ones, is he?
I reckon we just go great. He's not underrated. Yeah. He's not the bottom tier. I reckon we go great.
He's been successful at Survivor Series, that's no doubt. But he's not in terms of being the sole survivor, it's not that good.
And next up, we have the Ultimate Warrior, who took the game to new levels in the Survivor Series Soul Survivor things, because he was the sole survivor on three separate occasions.
Three! That's Bushin's weird there.
Two superstars in the history of Survivor Series have been sole survivor on three occasions. One of them was Ultimate Warrior, who on top of that, never ever lost a match at Survivor Series.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good, but I want to know more about how he got there.
We'll get there now. 1988, the team of the Blue Blazer, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Jim Brunzel, Sam Houston, and the Ultimate Warrior defeated the Honky Tonk Man, Ron Bass, Dangerous Danny Davis, bloody hell, these are some old names, aren't they? Bad News Brown, Greg the Hammer Valentine, and they had Jimmy Hart in the corner. Warrior pinned Ron Bass, and then Big Greg to win.
I thought it was the end of the sentence. Warrior pinned Ron Bass.
No, he didn't do a Terry Bollea. No. He pinned two people to win the match for his team. So that's fair enough, back in 1988. 89, we see the Ultimate Warriors. We had the Silly Bollocks name coming in now, which was Warrior, Jim Neidhart, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, the Rockers, of course, defeating the Heenan family of Bobby Heenan, who was in the match, Andre the Giant, Haku and Arn Anderson. Warrior finally got the two final falls again for his team, pinning Arn and then Bobby Heenan. Now, I don't know how he managed to pull that second one off.
Now, we laugh at that. But when you go back and watch it, it's actually a fantastic Survivor Series moment. And most of the credit has to go to Bobby Heenan for being such a despicable heel that you want to see Warrior get his hands on him. And when he's finally got through Arn, then he's got Heenan and you know.
Run but, down what happened there, Jack, with Bobby Heenan.
He battered him, didn't he?
Ah, he just battered him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything in particular. Can you think of anything in particular?
Oh, right. I thought you were going to add more strokes to that particular painting.
Oh, no, he won. He beat Bobby Heenan with ease. Yeah. With real ease, yeah. But the crowd went wild for it. Like, the crowd reaction is what makes it, because they can't wait to see Warrior get his hands on that weasel.
Underrated worker was Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
Very, very flexible man. Very flexible. He really was. Yeah. He used to fly over that top rope like there was no tomorrow. It was fantastic. And then in 1990, we had the Warriors, which was Animal, Hawk, Texas Tornado, and the Ultimate Warrior. That's a beefy team, isn't it? Defeating Mr. Perfect. Oh, sorry, the Perfect team, which was Axe, Crush, Mr. Perfect, and Smash.
The Perfect team.
Yes,
which is Demolition. Demolition and Mr. Perfect.
But they did have Bobby Heenan and Mr. Fuji in their corner, of course.
Heenan's already terrified. His head's gone after last year.
Flashbacks to that from a year before. But Warrior, in that match in 1990, the first one at least, got the first and last falls of the piece, eliminating Axe first. Oh, what a coup that is. And then pinning Mr. Perfect to win the match.
Oh, he pinned the team captain.
He pinned Mr. Perfect, yes. That's a big thing.
It is. There's a fly on the screen.
Yeah. It's okay.
Get away.
Make a wish. But then, of course, in 1990, we have the second match. It was the ultimate match of survival, where Hogan, Santana and Warrior defeated Hercules, Roman, Martel, DiBiase and Warlord. Warrior pinned Hercules to win the match. And that's a thing that happened as well.
So
I didn't write that down earlier, but it's written down properly there.
So where are we putting him then? Because he's had three.
It's got to go top tier, hasn't it?
Oh, no!
It's got to go top tier.
No, it's
three, and he's eliminated multiple people
and
in
he's
each
never
of
lost.
His matches, and he's never lost.
Never lost at Survivor Series.
You can't argue. He might be an arsehole,
yeah,
but you can't argue with his record at Survivor Series.
That, no.
Next up, we have another triple man.
Another
arsehole. Not quite as much
lovable,
an arsehole.
He's a lovable arsehole nowadays, isn't he?
He's just a massive arsehole called Randy Orton, who was the sole survivor. Early on in his career, he was Mr. Survivor Series within the first 3 or 4 years of his run in WWE, because 2003, 2004 and 2005, Randy Orton was the sole survivor at Survivor Series. 2003, of course, was the most emotional match, maybe, in the history of Survivor Series, as Team Austin took on Team Bischoff, which, of course, saw Austin fly away, Shawn Michaels bleed. Oh, my God, it was fantastic.
Orton won it for his team.
Mm-hmm.
Boo, because we wanted Austin to be in charge, because the fun would never end.
Exactly.
But he did have some help from Dave, I think, from Dave Batista.
And Shawn Michaels was completely gone. In kayfabe terms, he was completely gone.
It's a great performance from Shawn.
Just to go through the teams there, we had Team Bischoff, which was Jericho, Christian, Mark Henry, Orton and Steiner, with Bischoff in their
Steiner
corner.
Steiner, wow.
Yeah. Bischoff, Teddy Long and Stacey Keebler in their corner, and they defeated Team Austin, which was Booker T, Bobby Ray Dudley, Devon Dudley, Rob Van Dam and Shawn Michaels with Austin in their corner. And in that match, Orton eliminated Rob Van Dam, and then lastly Michaels with the help of Big Dave to bring it home for Eric Bischoff. Then he took over a Monday Night Raw, and we never saw Stone Cold again. Shame, isn't it?
It's a huge accolade to give a very young superstar at the time. So that is certainly an impressive start.
Yeah. 2004, we see Team Orton. He's got his own team now, which is Orton, Benoit, Jericho, and Maven. 2004 was the year of Maven. I don't care about 2002. This spawned something great, because this was the Survivor Series where the winning team, each member got a book, an episode of Monday Night Raw.
That's Maven a great gimmick.
Maven put himself in the world title picture, which of course you would do. Even if you're Maven, it's fantastic.
In the era where we've had 10 years ago, the era of the celebrity guest GM on Raw and everything. Why are they so hesitant to bring back this stipulation?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know. It is fantastic. But they defeated in 2004 Team Triple H. Now, I want you to try and remember who the last member is without looking. Have you looked at the screen enough?
I've not got my lens in, so
that's all right. So Triple H, yep. Batista, Edge, and who?
2004, Triple H, Batista, Edge, and I guess Flair.
He was at ringside.
Oh, he was at ringside.
Main event scene at Raw 2004.
Oh, Batista? Or was it after Batista's turn? It would have been. No, it would have been Batista.
One of the biggest names on Monday Night Raw in 2004 was Gene Snitsky.
Oh, wow. How has he managed to get in there?
I've got no idea. Well, he was hoofing babies, then he was in the main event of Survivor Series in 2004.
Trying to hoof Maven.
Why? Well, he did look like a baby.
Yeah, he's not. Have you seen him since? He's aged fantastically.
Oh, yeah, he looks the same, doesn't he? Great, fantastic. Yeah. But Orton in that match in 2004 eliminated the final two, which was Edge and then Triple H, which sounds okay, but it was all the more impressive because Edge and Triple H were against Orton on his own. So he overcame a 2-on-1 disadvantage.
Yeah.
And especially against Triple H in 2004, that's no mean feat.
It's really not. And when watching it, the shades of what would happen to Orton later on with Kofi Kingston. So I'd like to think that played into their thinking. I've got no idea if it did or not. Yeah. But that's another big win for Randy.
I do like the fact that Orton got one over Triple H that period of time. Because Triple H just had his number every single bloody time.
The babyface run of Randy Orton was not a strong point. But this was a strong point of that week period.
Yeah. 2005, we had Team SmackDown, Brand Warfare happened. Team SmackDown, which was Batista, Big Bobby Lashley, littler JBL, and then Randy Orton there. I don't know how to compare.
Tiny Randy Orton.
Yeah, it was the slender Randy Orton compared to JBL. And Rey Mysterio as well. He was really small. They defeated Team Raw, which was Big Show, the Masters of Cool, Kane and Shawn Michaels. Just in case you aren't aware, the Masters of Cool were the greatest tag team in five-star wrestling history, and they were Carlito and they were Chris Masters.
Yes. This is the one, isn't it? This is the one with the moment. We're on his shoulders and you've done it. And then,
bong.
What's going on now? Yeah. Great reaction from Randall.
Yeah. Shocked face.
The only time
Top tier.
The only time in that... Well, no, I guess there was moments in that feud with Undertaker where Randall was scared, but it's the only time since that he's ever been scared. I don't think he was scared once in his feud with The Fiend or with Bray Wyatt. He's never scared anymore.
You know who he's scared of, though? Omos.
He keeps saying
to Randy, stop getting involved with that big man. Riddle. Stop getting involved with that big man. Just like, you know, keep your distance and that.
Be tactical.
Yeah.
Hold and give and do it at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow
I wonder where that's
going.
Are they going to break up?
Oh, no, there'll be a singles match with Omos and Randy Orton at the Rumble of WrestleMania. I'm ready for it, mate. I'm ready to see Omos just pin Randy Orton with a foot on the chest. I'm ready for that to happen.
Imagine.
But back in 2005, before The Undertaker came back and scared Randy Orton poolless, Randy Orton got the final elimination of the match. He did a Terry Bollea, everybody. He got Michaels out there to win the thing right at the end. So that's all he did there. I mean, he did more than that in the match, but he just got one elimination.
Okay. I mean, it's top tier for Randall.
It's top tier, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I would argue, Jack, that is the toppest of the top tier. Ooh. That 2003, 2004, 2005 run of Randy Orton. When he's done more at Survivor Series, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of being the sole survivor, I would put to you, especially because of 2004, he is the greatest sole survivor in the history of Survivor Series.
And I would agree. I would agree.
Do we need to move anything around in that tier?
I don't think so. We could try and move things around in Sensational, maybe.
Dwayne stays there because of 2001, surely, and because of beating Goldust in 96. Okay. Ziggler, 2014 was monumental. 2012, not so much in my eyes. It was just a team of random babyfaces, wasn't it?
I think we leave that as it is. Yeah, maybe that's fine.
Reigns brought it. Well, Reigns, maybe.
I don't think he eclipses Dolph, though.
Who was he against in 2012? I've forgotten. 2013, sorry.
Well, he was with the Shield.
Which he took on. Oh, that was the team of random baby faces.
Yeah. No, I think we leave that as it is as well.
Yeah.
I think.
Sorry, Ziggler was against Team Foley. That's why I'm getting mixed up.
Right. But then maybe we've just done it.
Nailed it in one. Hole in one, everybody. Are there any more notable absentees in terms of Soul Survivors that you should have? Or are you saying I should have put in that to you?
Maybe Kofi.
Maybe Kofi.
Just for that moment.
Yeah.
But for me, he would be like maybe with Hogan and Gray. He wouldn't be in the upper reaches.
Yeah.
Because there was only the one. And it led to the feud where he got called stupid, so I'm not sure about that.
So there we go. Though that was the tier list about the GOATs in the Soul Survivor game at Survivor Series. Let me know, or let us know, there's two people here, let us know if we missed anybody off this, even though I put it all together. So just let me know, I guess, if I missed anybody off. I hope I didn't. That's a very comprehensive list of all the people who have done the Soul Survivor thing more than once in Survivor Series history. Any closing remarks?
No, I've enjoyed it. I think we're going to win as well at Survivor Series in the predictions.
Toon Squad!
And thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. We're going to do many more videos today, so sorry if this felt a bit rushed. Thank you for your time. I've been Rossi Drip Drip in the vessel. No, the other way around. I've been Gary YouTube in the vessel of Rossi Drip Drip from Cultaholic Wrestling. Check out all the Survivor Series content. I assume there was a live stream last night, maybe with Adam. If it's in the future, it's on this very YouTube channel. We've got two Survivor Series lists. We've got a brand new review show on Twitch at 1 p.m. GMT. That's UK time for everybody. Where Tom and Andrew, boo that day, little Andrew, will be doing a big review of Survivor Series. That's the thing we're going to start now for all the pay-per-views and then bring in some Raw and some SmackDown and some AEW as well when we get a bit more comfortable with the setup. So there we go. Big things to come. Lots of videos. Lots of content. I've been Thingy. He's been Thingy. We'll see you in a Thingy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.